So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is, most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how.
What's up, guys? Ryan Ake here, your humble host for the Cashflow Dad Life podcast. We have with us today Gary Guidi, who is going to share with us his amazing story with real estate. If you've ever felt like you were spending most of your time in life doing something you didn't want to do or pursuing goals that you thought would make you happy but didn't, you need to listen to Gary's story. And if you've ever felt like you were limited in your job, then you need to listen to Gary's story. And if something bad has happened in your career or is happening to you, it could just be the best thing that has ever happened to you. And Gary's story will make that clear. Gary's actually a former student with our real estate mentorship program. And he went from just getting fired from his great job as a mortgage banker at a bank to within 6 months learning and implementing an apartment investing strategy, creating $12,000 a month in passive income, cash flow. He's the husband and father of two adorable boys. I got a chance to meet him and his family. And the most impressive thing that I will say about Gary is that he is an incredible man of action. So I've gotten to know Gary over the past year. I'm honored to have him on the show to share his story with you and to help inspire you guys to pursue a life of purpose. So Gary, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Ryan. Thanks for that nice welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just kick it right off. What are some of the struggles? I kind of alluded to it in the intro. You know, your job as a mortgage broker. Take us back to that. And what are some of the struggles that you were having? You know, you're actually having success as a banker, you know. And then what were some of the struggles that you had that kind of led you to select real estate as the vehicle you would use to drive out of it?
Sure. I'm happy to share. A little bit of background on me. I had spent almost all my career since college in that same mortgage banker role. I came out of college in 99 and I just exited the field. So it had been almost 20 full years for me. But what really changed my life was fatherhood, right? So, I mean, the direct answer to how that all happened was because I started becoming really more conscious about thinking about how I was going to raise my boys, what kind of father that I wanted to be. You mentioned that you got to meet my two little boys. We have a 4.5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I had been, you know, coasting along in my career for a really long time. And I was pretty darn successful. I was working for a big bank here in Chicago, downtown. I thought it was great. I thought it was like the pinnacle of my career. I was having the most success in the past, you know, I would say from 2015 to the time, you know, that you mentioned that I had been fired in late 2017. I mean, those were like three of the best years of my career, you know, money-wise, success-wise. And I thought, wow, this is great. This is it. Like, I finally arrived. I've been working at this for my whole, you know, professional life. And here I am. I'm in my 3-piece suit. I'm in downtown Chicago and I'm closing these big deals, and I thought I was on, you know, the top of that world for me. But, you know, that all changed, and it all changed actually kind of quickly. At the time, it was about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now. It was in the fall of 2017. I was working at Chase, and I had Luke was 2.5, and Kyle was just an infant. And I had, ironically enough, it was October of 2017. I had just funded the largest month of my career. And I had an assistant at the time. I thought I was a big shot. And I took my assistant out to this big, nice dinner, great wine. and we're celebrating because we worked so hard and we were doing so well together. And I had gone on a vacation after that. And ironically enough, I'm on vacation, trying to cut down on work and be present with my boys and spend time with them because it was important to me to do that. And I just couldn't. And I'm like working halfway through this vacation. I'm super busy. I have all these deals in my pipeline and I just couldn't disconnect. And I worked through a couple of different issues, a couple different closings. And then about a month later, so this was right after Thanksgiving, I had gotten a phone call from my manager at Chase and he said, "Hey Gary, you know, we got called to this meeting. It's with internal investigation. You know, don't worry about it. They're going to ask you some questions." He called me like on a Friday. That meeting was going to take place sometime, I think on Monday or Tuesday. And I asked him what it was about. He wouldn't tell me or couldn't tell me. And I didn't know, you know, what was going on. But I go to this meeting. I sit in this little tiny room with this internal investigator and my manager. And I really don't know what it's about. I can't think of anything that I had done inappropriately or wrong, but they open up this folder and they hand me this letter that I had written in October while I was on that vacation, supposed to be spending time with my boys and my wife. And it was this pre-approval letter that I had written for a client. Nothing unusual about it. He was a high value client. I had written this pre-approval letter because he wanted to go under contract on some second home he wanted to buy in Wisconsin. And I'd been working with him all year. The thing that I had noticed, though, was that his credit report had expired a couple months previously. And I had made the decision that I wasn't going to rerun his credit report. I thought to myself, it was very low risk. He made a lot of money. He had a lot of assets. There's a pre-approval letter. He just needed it to engage in the negotiation process. So I just hand typed out a letter and sent it off to him. Well, Chase said, "You can't do that. And you can't do that because it breaks procedure. You don't have the authority to write a pre-approval letter based off of what you think. Our Chase system has to send out a pre-approval letter and you should have known that." So I said, "Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I won't do that again." Right. So they had me write a statement and I sat there and I wrote out this, "Hey, I wrote this pre-approval letter. I understand I broke procedure. I apologize. I will not do that in the future." Right. And I sign it and I give it to these people. And then 2 weeks later, I'm fired for writing this pre-approval letter, a letter that I'd written, you know, 1,000 times before it. But Chase, for their own reasons, because they're a big bank, were very sensitive to me thinking that I had the right to go ahead and pre-approve this client of mine.
And, so, and like that, everything that you had worked for and where you're at the pinnacle of your career, little mistake like that, just like that, gone.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing, Ryan. I mean, I spent several years there. You know, the amount of times that they're giving you the attaboys and congratulations and all of those things. I certainly didn't think that making one small mistake was going to jeopardize that career and that job that I had, but it did, right? When I wrote the letter, I didn't really think anything of it at all. And there it was, you know, it was, and I remember the date. It was December 7th, because I was history major. You know, it was Pearl Harbor Day, and I felt like my Pacific Fleet had gotten sunk on that day. I mean, I was heartbroken, right? I felt like everything that I had known to be true about work and career and ethics and being honest was just completely, you know, torn down. And it was, you know, it wasn't my intention. I would have never have written that letter if I had thought that that was, you know, what the outcome would have been. So I had spent the holidays, you know, that year, that whole month of December. I mean, it was just, oh, you know, it was awful. I mean, I was frustrated. I was sad. I talked with my colleagues about it and they gave me referrals to other banks in the area. And I started reaching out for interviews and I was interviewing, you know, a week or two later. And look, I mean, I was honest in those interviews and I told that story and those other banks, they understood. And I didn't have any trouble getting hired by the start of the year, but I spent the whole month of December, well, you know, I wanted to focus on Christmas and, you know, holidays and all those fun family things and all the things you try to do. And I was just worried about, oh my gosh, you know, what happened to me, or what's my reputation now? What's it going to be like going forward? So that was the first of two of the 1-2 punch that I would say led me to meeting you almost a year later. And the second one was actually much worse than that one. You probably wonder, well, what's worse than, you know, getting fired for making some small mistake? There was something that happened a lot worse than that. So I started working at another bank in January right away. And I got acclimated with that bank, and I had to learn their new programs and systems. You guys all know how that goes. But I was essentially just trying to get back to the same place that I was at, you know, 6 months ago. I thought that's where I belong. I want to get back to that spot. And then one of my very best friends, somebody who I have known since college, the godfather of one of my sons, is buying a new house with his family. I had worked with him for years and years. I had helped him buy his previous home, you know, done many deals with him before successfully, no stress deals. And my buddy comes to me for a new mortgage, and I start working on it like normal. And then a couple weeks into it, he's not really committing to the process with me. And then he tells me that he is, you know, he's shopping the terms that I'm presenting to him with Chase, the same bank that had just, you know, fired me a couple months ago that he knew about, right? My buddy gut punch, right? So I roll with that. I mean, competition in, you know, in many businesses, especially this one that I was in, that's just the way things are. You don't expect it necessarily from your friends and family, but I tried to take the higher road and just realize that, you know, this friend of mine was under a lot of stress himself. He was going to be borrowing more money than he ever borrowed before, and he wanted to make sure that he was going to be able to get the best terms. So I played that with him. And I described that to my new company and my managers, and they said, hey, Gary, this happens to all of us sometimes. Don't take it personally. Just do whatever you need to do. Offer him whatever, you know, you think is reasonable so that he'll commit and so you can work with your buddy. We want you to be happy. We want him to be happy. You know, go ahead. You have our blessing. Get it done. So I go back and forth with my buddy, and I think I've given him now, a better deal, whatever that might have been at the time. Below market, fantastic deal. And he just wouldn't commit, back and forth. This went on for a couple of weeks. And I started, this is where I really lost heart and I lost faith in that job, because I found myself losing sleep at night. I found myself, you know, waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning going, oh my God, I lost a great job. I have a new job. And now one of my best friends is treating me like a commodity. Like if I can't work with the people who I'm closest to, that I've had great relationships and past success with, like, then what am I doing here? Like, what, like, why am I doing this? This is crazy. This one deal doesn't mean that much to me, but my friendship does, and my faith in what I'm doing for a career, how I earn money for my family, certainly matters. And I just couldn't figure out a solution. And so then I finally decided that rather than lose any more sleep or possibly lose a friend over this situation, I called that former colleague of mine at Chase, and I explained to him that I was the other person involved, I was his competition, and that he was my good friend, and that I was losing sleep over it, and I couldn't do it anymore. And I basically orchestrated my former colleague to win that deal. I just said, hey, offer him this. He'll tell me you offered him this. I'll tell him I can't match it, and that you're a great guy, and that you'll do a great job for him, and just to go on. So that all happened. Like I behind the scenes had to manipulate just to get myself out of that stressful situation that I was in, to give up that business in order to just save my sanity a little bit. And that was in April of 2018 that happened. And I think the very next week, you met my wife, Jen. Jen and I had an out-of-town wedding to go to for some of our friends. And it was the first weekend that we were going to be away from the boys since Kyle had been born. So for almost a year, which, you know, as you know, Ryan, with all of your family life, sometimes it's hard to have a conversation with your wife when you have young children and there's so much going on and you're both so super busy. And Jen and I flew to California for this wedding, and we fly into San Francisco, and we've got a long drive ahead of us up to Napa, where this wedding is. And it's raining and it's rush hour traffic, and we find out that this is going to be like a 3-hour drive. And I'm just still all tied up in knots from this situation with my friend. And, you know, I'm driving, and Jen just says to me, she's like, I know something's wrong, you know, tell me what's wrong. And so I had to, it's hard because I'm thinking back to that moment. You know, I had to tell her that I just couldn't do that job anymore. Like, it was over. I said, you know, it's not meant for me any longer. I've been doing it for almost 20 years. I don't want to do it for another 15 or 20 years, you know, down the road. And that I don't know, like, what the, I told her I didn't know what the answer was, but I was going to have to figure it out. So we had this really good talk, you know, for that 2-hour period, as we drove up to the wedding. And I just told her how I felt about, you know, how much pain that had put me through since that event had happened at Chase and this other situation, and how I just felt devalued, and that job and that role was changing, and I just didn't want to continue on that path any longer. And she totally understood. And then I just started figuring out, you know, from that time on, in April of 2018, I just knew I wasn't going to quit my job, and I wasn't going to just, you know, ask my wife to support our family until I figured it out. But I knew I had to come up with a plan. So I spent a bunch of months researching real estate and how to be an investor. I started, you know, going back to fatherhood, what I mentioned before, I started trying to ask myself better questions in terms of, like, I had been trying to figure out how to get back to a place that was, you know, hell. So how do you not, how do I put myself in a new position? What does it look like? How do I be a better dad and a better husband without being a workaholic who's, you know, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, worried about business? And I just knew that the solution had something to do with passive income. Although I had never done it, I'd always been trading time and money and effort, I should say time and effort for money in the past. I just knew I had to figure out a way to change that dynamic. So, you know, listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of books and just trying to drill that down. I did all that research for several months, and then I came across you on Larry's podcast and Our Dad's Edge. And I got in touch with you, and then we chatted about this in November of 2018, so a little less than a year ago. And then, you know, you had me do an assessment of my strengths and weaknesses and the time I had and the capital that I had access to. And you suggested looking into apartment acquisition. And the more I looked into it, the more it made sense. And you started helping me analyze deals and start drilling down how we could reverse engineer my way out of, you know, that terrible job that I had, right? And I said, well, my goal is that I want to have, you know, $10,000 of passive income. And you said, okay, well, great. Let's see what, you know, what size and what kind of cash on cash return. And let's look at how we can make that happen. So we worked on those things together. And that was, we started that in, I think it was sometime last fall. I'm calling it November. And by late December, I was in contract for my first property. Shortly after that, contract for the second property. And then they both closed in March. And, you know, the day after that second building closed, about six months ago, you know, I quit that job and I was out.
Hey guys, this is Ryan Ank. I just want to take a quick break from the interview with Gary to let you guys know that if you want to get off the sidelines like Gary did and get into the game yourself, real estate has made more millionaires than any other industry. There are three strategies that we use, including the successful strategy that Gary used and what he's talking about today with apartments. To see what these strategies are and how we have helped students, no matter what their prior experience, to get started and create passive income, you want to check out this website. It's www.cashflowdadlife.com/top3. That's the number 3. And again, it's www.cashflowdadlife.com/top3. You can see for yourself how it works, how you can get started. And now back to the interview with Gary.
Man, that is an amazing story. I mean, it really hits, it really pulls on my heartstrings when you're talking about having that conversation with your wife, because, you know, I think as men, it's not, you know, specific to just men, but we put a lot of weight in what we do. We put a lot of weight on being a success as a husband and a provider, you know, for our children. And to be in that tumultuous transition where you're all knotted up because you felt like you had security and then it was gone. You felt like, you know, you had, you know, a job that would be a benefit to your community, to your friendships, and instead you're treated like a commodity. And it's just, you know, it's something that really pulls on you. And to be able to just sit there and have that, you know, those two gut punches, and then from there, just kind of, you know, making a transition and saying, hey, how can I ask myself the right questions so that I can reorient my life and my internal compass to point in the right direction, to where I'm going on vacation with my family and I'm present to them and I'm there and available. Because that's the best thing that we can give our kids, is just carefree timelessness, not time where you're on the beach, but you've got your cell phone open and you're responding, you know, to a letter. So, you know, it's really amazing. It seems like such a basic thing, but it's amazing that you took the action to get out of that. And if you could kind of walk us through that process, because a lot of people, and it might just be second nature to you, but a lot of people, they're not happy and they're not content with where they are. And maybe they've even asked themselves the right question, but then they reside to going back to the same way and to living in that misery because of fear. There's something that they're afraid of on the other side. Can you kind of walk us through what that was like for you?
Sure, I'll try to. I mean, I guess for me, I mean, the pain point for me was so high that it was just, for me, it was unacceptable to me. You know, like there are things that you can live with in life and the things you can't. And I had decided that, you know, and you and I maybe talked about this a little bit before, but it was kind of like, I'm a person of faith. And it was kind of like the first time that I got fired by Chase, like God was trying to tell me something. I feel like he's saying, hey, you want to be a good dad, but you can't do it doing what you're doing right now. So I'm going to release you from this job, right? But I didn't really listen. And I try to go back to the same place. And then a couple months later, this event happens with my friend. And he's like, oh, so you think you can figure this all out, you know, by yourself? Well, here's another situation that I'm going to have you fall down again. And I just realized that, like, that was just totally unacceptable. And that's not my life's mission anymore. It might have been at one time, it might have been good for me at one time, but I think we have to pay attention to that compass. We have to pay attention to the restlessness, to those feelings. Waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning is a really big call sign that you are under so much duress that this is not an option anymore. So I think once I agreed on that, I don't like to, fear, I think, is a, I know a lot of people talk about fear. People ask me about fear and starting your own business and doing these things, but I never really looked at it as fear per se. I just knew it was going to be uncomfortable. And I've always been comfortable being uncomfortable. And I tried to rely on things I have done in my past that, you know, they didn't have anything to do with starting a new business or leaving a career, but things that were uncomfortable that I didn't know the outcome of and that I didn't know how to achieve something. But I just knew that if I kept chipping away, that I would eventually figure things out, ask the right questions, get the right support, and then by taking massive action, eventually, you know, come out through on the other side. And I just leaned on that at the beginning, even though I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen.
I think that's the perfect approach to it, because a lot of the fear just comes from the unknown. And just to say, all right, let me bullet point it out and let me solve all those fears by this, you know, this solution over here. So walk us through those specific deals that you did. And then let's transition from there after you walk us through that. Just give us the bullet points. Yep. And let's transition to what you're doing now and what you're able to do because of that passive income that you're bringing in.
Sure, sure. So the first deal was a 27 unit. It had some retail spaces. It had four retail spaces and then, 23 apartments. It's a mom and pop shop. So in other words, what that means is that the previous owner, it was family owned by a couple for about 20 years. It was owned by this couple. They self-managed it. They had acquired it in the early 2000s. They cleaned it up. It's when the neighborhood that I had bought in was in much rougher shape. They did a really good job of changing the tenant base, moving people out that didn't belong there, that didn't fit what they thought was a good community, just helping stabilize that building. And then they did, you know, they did some upgrades, but they really left a lot of those units kind of looking like late 80s, early 90s kind of a look, kind of a vintage look. So when I looked at that opportunity, I saw that the price per door was really low, that the neighborhood had come a long ways in 20 years since I had lived near that neighborhood. And I saw a lot of potential to go in and, you know, fill up some vacancies that were open. And before doing that, remodel some of those units and put in some nicer amenities, some new kitchens and baths and stain those floors, put in some ceiling fans and really raise that rent roll. And that's what we've been able to do at that particular property over the past 4 or 5 months. So we've increased that rent roll. I think before closing, the rent roll was just under $20,000 a month, and now it's 27 and a half. So we pushed it up about $7,500 in the past 4 months by filling all the vacancies and remodeling and raising the rents.
So you used to wake up every morning, you know, I assume early to beat the traffic, and you put on a suit and tie and you drove into the downtown. Mm-hmm. And walk us through the feeling of how you wake up now, or that day that you woke up and you looked into your bank account and there was $12,000 in there for passive income. And in the morning you didn't have to put on a suit to go into the downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what I wear to work now, right? This is it. This is me. I don't wear a three-piece suit anymore, you know, and I don't have to take the L downtown Chicago and go to the rat race. So it's wonderful. I mean, the first time that money appeared in the account, it felt a little bit like it didn't really feel real. Like, I knew it was coming. I have a third-party property manager. They do all of the collecting and they handle all the day-to-day operations. And we had discussed where the revenue was on the building, and he said, hey, on this date, I just want to let you know your owner's draw is going to be this amount of money. It was like $12,500. I was like, okay, great. And then, like, it magically appears in your bank account, but it's different than when you get a direct deposit from work, because that money appeared and I didn't have the stress and pressure of now closing a bunch of new deals, which is how I earned my income before, right? So I'm no longer like, you know, so the way that I think of it is, because I was a mortgage person and I worked off, you know, off of monthly commissions, is that every month there's a closing on that building and the other building that I own every month, whether I do anything or not, whatever decisions that my property manager and I make or not, there's a closing and I'm going to be sharing, receiving a lot of the profits from that closing now that all of that work is done. So there's a lot of work up front. And then once it closed, now it's just communicating with the property manager, staying on top of it, making some decisions, and keeping that building and that vision of that building going the right direction and working with the people and delegating it down. So now, you know, I can take my sons out of daycare early. We can go to Wrigley Field. We can go to the park. We can go to the zoo. And we've done all those things, and it's great. It's wonderful.
So how have you, so now that you're, I mean, you've got that financial freedom and your wife and your kids have gotten the benefits of that as well. What, I assume your internal mission statement has transitioned a little bit and you have more of a desire now to kind of share what's given you this freedom. Because once you have a taste of that freedom, you're like, more people should have this, you know, that's the way I am, that's the way you are. So how did you transition your internal mission statement? What is that now and what are your goals as far as?
I'm sorry, Ryan, you know, that's like a really good question because one of the things I didn't expect to happen, say earlier this year before all those changes took place was I just kind of expected that I would be thinking about apartments every day or new apartments or new deals. One of the unexpected benefits is that like the more that I share the story, the more other men, a lot of them are dads, a lot of them are guys in our dad's group who are seeking a better way to earn a living for their families or who are restless or who have had some similar feelings. They just want me to share with them and walk them through it and help them understand real estate better. And how, you know, what their current skill sets are, like what else they need to do to help trying to make a transition of their own at some point in the future. And then when I talk to them, I get really excited about it, right? And I've never been in that position before to be sharing those things. In my old mortgage career, like it was a very competitive environment. If you learned something that nobody else knew, chances were people weren't going to be giving you a hand up to be more competition for them. And then for us in this real estate space, especially for us in this apartment space, it's like a wide open blue ocean. And every time I ask for help, somebody helps me and tells me things and shares things with me. And now I'm feeling like this is a great opportunity for me to help other guys who have similar mission statements in life to be better fathers or better husbands or better people. I have more free time to do things that they choose to do that I'm in a position to help those guys or gals, but it just so happens that it's mostly been fellows.
Yeah, it's been mostly, yeah, guys care a lot about the finances in general. So what is your current, what's next?
Personally, I'm working on a private pilot's license. I've gotten back into flying, something that I had started when I was in college. And then after I had graduated and didn't have any extra money and time for, I had to set aside. And now I do. So I'm working my way towards earning my private pilot's license, like our mutual friend, Preston. And professionally, you and I are in a deal together, which is fantastic. It's awesome. We're doing a JV. We're doing a JV of a 50-unit apartment building here in my hometown of Chicago, which is awesome because I made you fly up here to look at it at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you were super exhausted, and then you came to my house and we drank a lot of good whiskey, and then you I think had 3 servings of dinner that night, which was fantastic for all of us.
It was fantastic, you know, waking up at 3 a.m. I normally get up at 4:30 to 5 every day, so that wasn't so bad, but I was exhausted by the time I got there, and thank you so much, that whiskey really. People to our programs that, you know, you can get involved in Gary's deals, actually, and what he's doing in Chicago. We love Chicago. In fact, we've done a training on the Chicago market, and we've done a training on, you know, kind of both what he's done. We've walked through the 50 unit. So you can see that on our YouTube channel. So I encourage you guys to subscribe to that. To learn some of the strategies, you can go to cashflowdadlife.com/mastery. We're talking to Gary right now about coming on to help more people, to help me help more people. And we're really excited about that. So you guys can be looking for that coming down the pike. And to check out Gary's deal, you can go to cfdlcapital.com. All right, guys. Gary, thank you so much for blessing us with your story. There's so much in that I think that a lot of people, you know, really, really deal with, you know, one, in taking the jump to make a decision to make a change, two, in feeling security, you know, in their job, and then, you know, carpets pulled out from under their feet. Three, you know, I think everybody's been screwed by a friend every now and then. Not that that's what the guy was doing, but, you know, just, you know, kind of felt treated as a commodity because of your profession and what you were in. And I think a lot of people are like that, where they feel like, I felt like that when I was selling copiers. I had this lady I went to church with, and I wanted to sell her a copier, and she just, you know, didn't even look at me when I saw her at church, you know, because she knew I was going to be asking her if she wanted to buy the copier, you know. So I definitely relate to that feeling as well, just because of the profession that you're in. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that you inspired a lot of people.
Boom. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out, because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that could literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to